Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering how to handle this insane weekend in professional wrestling, with New Japan Pro Wrestling running shows on Saturday and Sunday, and Impact Wrestling pay-per-view Slammiversary on Sunday night, we've got the place for you, ProWrestling.net. If you head over there, you will see live coverage of all of these shows, plus audio reviews of all of these shows for .net members. Plus, ad-free access to the site for .NET members. If you're wondering how to become a .NET member, because this just sounds too good to be true, head to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and for $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out, or if you want to take the annual option and drop that rate down to $5.50 a month, we won't fault you for it. Let's put it that way. Go to ProWrestling.net. Check it out for yourself. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 special shows happening in Long Beach, California this weekend. So Jake, welcome back. I trust you had a decently relaxing vacation.
Yeah, we spent about a week, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time in a hotel room. I was out in nature, so I got away from my job, and I got away from people, and
got away from me. Kind of, always got away always from, good.
Yeah, got away from everything, and I feel a lot better. It's nice to get rid of the stress that way.
How much wrestling did you watch on this vacation? I'm gonna guess and say you saw every moment of Raw, SmackDown, Money in the Bank, maybe watched a couple New Japan shows while you were gone too.
I managed to, like, while I was like getting ready to go to sleep, like I would like peek at what happened, or maybe, you know, I think I watched the ladder matches for Money in the Bank like late at night, but that was really about it. I tried to avoid television at all costs, and it worked out for me.
Yeah, normally when I go on vacation, I want to completely shut down the wrestling side of things. Unless I hear something is absolutely brilliant, then I will seek it out and watch it. But I'm glad you are back and refreshed. April did a downright admirable job chatting with me last week in your absence, and that was really great. If anyone didn't listen to it, worth going out of your way. She's pretty cool. But we're here today to talk about the New Japan shows in Long Beach this weekend that I'm attending. These should be fun. These are, I think, New Japan keeps calling them their first shows in the U.S., but New Japan had U.S. shows in, like, 2011, didn't they?
Wasn't it part of their invasion tour, like, 2011? I may be remembering that incorrectly, but yeah, I do recall them having shows here in the past, but it's certainly a part of a renewed effort on their part to make inroads into the U.S. wrestling scene. And so I give them credit. They put together some very entertaining looking cards for people to, you know, put their eyes on. And I'm hoping, you know, you'll get some good news when you go there and they're all sold out and things are looking, you know, packed and people are excited about it.
And I think the one technicality we may get, looking on the Wikipedia page for the New Japan Pro Wrestling Invasion Tour 2011, though, the tour was hosted by Jersey All Pro Wrestling, even though it still had top New Japan stars. And I believe on this show, or on this tour, MVP won the first ever New Japan Intercontinental Championship. Well, Jake, we're breaking out a new championship for this U.S. tour as well. If New Japan keeps this up, every time they come to the U.S., they're going to have to introduce a new title belt, and Wrestle Kingdom's going to take days to watch.
Yeah, I think we're going to be in for like a 7-hour marathon equaling WrestleMania at that point. Like, I think, what is it, the United States Heavyweight Championship this time? We're having a tournament for one?
Yes, it is. And this should be a pretty interesting tournament. Maybe we should talk about that first as we get into previewing these shows. There are 8 wrestlers in the tournament. It's Hangman Page versus Jay Lethal, Juice Robinson versus Zack Sabre Jr., Tetsuya Naito versus Tomohiro Ishii, and Kenny Omega versus Michael Elgin. Those are your 4 first round matches that are happening on night 1, Saturday night, July 1st. That show is going to be on Access, I believe, the AXS channel with Jim Ross live on the call. So I'm almost jealous of people being able to sit and watch it at home, because I'm going to be at this 4 or 5 hour show, and I will not have the luxury of Jim Ross saying things in my ear in his dulcet southern tones.
Yeah, I mean, JR calling these shows is a huge boon. Like it's hard to overstate how much, you know, nostalgia and you know, things you feel when you listen to Jim Ross call a wrestling show. And to be honest, I think he's, you know, despite being several years away from calling WWE full time, I think he's still one of the better storytellers, in the announce booth that's available today. So it's a good call. And, from New Japan's perspective, it's just got to be automatic for them. Like, JR is just an easy call to make because he's just available and he enhances any show that he's on.
Yeah. So out of those 8 men, who do you think ends up leaving the weekend with the New Japan or with the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship? That is a mouthful, man.
It sure is. I'm kind of torn. Like, I don't know who makes the most sense for them from a booking standpoint. I mean, I could see them going with Omega, maybe, but it almost seems like he would be a better fit for just going after the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, which is what he's primarily interested in. So, I mean, it's a tough call. Like, I think there's going to be some great matches here, but picking a winner, it's like I'm very low confidence. Like, I think it would be fun to have somebody like Naito carry it, because he would just abuse it and talk down to it the entire
Naito
time.
Naito throwing around belts is always enjoyable.
Yeah, so I mean, there's part of me that's like, you know, having a Japanese wrestler win the IWGP US Championship would be, you know, there's a lot of entertaining stuff you could do there, especially with somebody like Naito, who's such a dynamic character and who would know exactly what to say to rile up audiences with it. So, but if I was going to make a prediction, Omega, but again, pretty low confidence.
I'm really torn on as to whether Kenny Omega wins the title or loses in the first round. Like, I do not know which one of those it'll be, because I could easily see Omega losing via like some weird thing in the first round, just so he doesn't go deep into the tournament. And I could easily see him winning. And I guess it depends on what they want to do with this US title going forward and what it's going to mean in the company. Like, is it a true number two title? Is it the third or fourth title? Where does it rank with all of the other championships, and how they want to make that work? It'll definitely be interesting to see what they do, but I'm with you in that Omega is my prediction, but I'm not confident in it at all. And like a Jay Lethal winning honestly wouldn't surprise me, or Elgin winning definitely wouldn't surprise me, since he's had intercontinental title reigns in New Japan as well. So I could see this being a lot of fun. That Naito versus Ishii match is going to be a whole lot of fun on that first night. And it's that and Omega versus Elgin that I think I'm looking forward to the most on that show.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's going to be, you know, they're going to go out there and they're going to try to prove something, and as they always do. And so I'm excited for it. I mean, even if the championship doesn't end up meaning much in the long haul, I think it's a nice gesture from New Japan to say, hey, we're going to create a championship. We're going to put some of our most popular talents in the tournament. We're going to try to make it mean something out of the gate. And, you know, where it ends up, I guess, is anybody's, throw a dart at that to see how much prestige it ends up carrying. But it would be nice to see a championship that that somebody would bring over here and defend on a regular basis. It would be a nice boon for independent promotions that could carry that match.
Absolutely. And it would also be nice to see New Japan come over more than occasionally. I think that's, they've said as much, that their idea is that this is the beginning of an actual New Japan touring brand of some sort that occurs in the United States. And I think that would be delightful and fun to have around. And, you know, selfishly, I'm like, yeah, do it. Come to the West Coast a ton. I'll go to those shows. So hopefully they're successful. These shows are like super sold out. Tickets on StubHub are going for $100 at minimum, and that's for not great seats. So they have something good going there. Do you think Okada beats Cody, or Cody beats Okada for the IWGP heavyweight title?
I guess it's kind of, you know, more up in the air, you know, than I would have expected it to be. You know, I think the fact that Cody wins the Ring of Honor championship and now, you know, heads into this match with some momentum. I mean, it seems like there's at least, you know, enough there to make you, you know, make it pique your interest as to like, okay, well, maybe there's big plans for Cody Rhodes at this point. But I have a hard time believing that Okada drops the championship here. He's got so much more to do, and he's so popular, you know, back in Japan, and he's, you know, he's the ace. And so, you know, Cody Rhodes just doesn't feel like he's there yet as much as I do enjoy his work.
Okada may be the ace, but Tanahashi will always be the ace of my heart.
Well, I'm sure Tanahashi is happy you said that. He's very happy with the, you know, he carried around that ace, you know, I guess that moniker for, and he still has it in his music.
I was going to say, his music says, go ace.
Yeah, so there you go. I think it's something that he had a lot of pride in, so. You know, make sure you let him know when you see him that he's the ace of your heart.
I should. If I get to talk to Tanahashi, I might tell him he's the ace of my heart and see what happens. And that's how I got kicked out of
it. As long as you're filming it, yeah. Just like, perfect.
Yeah, I'll have Brian hold the camera while I tell him that and see what happens. I assume that can only go well. Other matches on that first night include... a bunch of multi-man tags, kind of the classic New Japan undercard thing to do with the Bullet Club against Chaos and the Briscoes, and that should be a lot
There's
of fun craziness.
There's a 10-man tag and an 8-man tag on this
show.
Two
8-man tags.
Two 8-man tags.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Then you have Dragon Lee, Jushin Liger, Titan and Volador Jr. against Bushi, Evil, Hiromu Takahashi, and Sonata. Again, that should just be fun. I mean, that 10-man tag and that 8-man tag look insanely enjoyable. Then Finley, Tanahashi, Jay White, and Kushida against Billy Gunn, who I have no idea why Billy Gunn is on this show. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't get why he's on both of these shows. Who decided Billy Gunn needed to wrestle in the United States and why? But Billy Gunn, Sho Tanaka, Yohei Komatsu, and Yoshi Tatsu, that match should be all right. Like, it'll be cool, I guess. Tanahashi will be in it.
Is quite literally everybody who works for New Japan on this show then? That's like 26 people in three matches.
Yeah, then and that's got like eight guys in the tournament. So yeah. 34, and then Okada and Cody. So I don't 30. See Gato and Jado on this show.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
they might be the two odd men out. But yeah, it's incredible how many people they're bringing just to have one, you know, a couple nights worth of a card. It's a great effort on their part.
Yeah, they could have gotten a lot out of just a few guys, especially in singles matches. But they seem to be trying to have real cards like they would have if they were in Japan for these shows. I don't think they're pulling out all the stops. It's not like we got Dominion here in the U.S. or something, but they're definitely trying, which is nice to see.
And it's a good setup for, you know, the G1 Climax when they head back. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months for New Japan. I'm curious if they make an improved effort to get signups for New Japan World. And now that they're, you know, the English website is improved, it really becomes more of a viable alternative. And if there's a regular touring brand, of all the promotions in the U.S., I think, you know, a New Japan, you know, entry into the marketplace here would be something that's a fairly straightforward alternative to what WWE produces. So, you know, it's definitely a much different feel to the show.
Oh yeah, and I think the biggest thing, if they were to do that, if this is
supposed to be an inroad into the United States in a way, the biggest thing that they have to do is make every show accessible. And we talk about, say, the G1, which is coming up in July and August, and I'm going to make my annual statement that I'm going to try and follow the G1 this year, followed by, of course, a weekend, my disappointment that I've watched nothing. Stand by for both. But, like, so many of those shows, there are some that are single camera. There are some that are multi-camera, no commentary. There are some that are multi-camera, only Japanese commentary, and some that are the whole shebang with English commentary as well. And I would say if they're serious about making inroads into the U.S., they have to actually present for people something a little more accessible. And I think that begins with English commentary, even though I'm not a monster and I will not listen to Kevin Kelly call New Japan.
Well, I understand the idea of presenting a more Western friendly production to U.S. fans. If their goal is to, expand, the New Japan World service, it's definitely something they have to consider, even if it means having people sit down and record commentary after the fact. But at the end of the day, like the G1 as a tournament, it's impossible to follow. Like, not necessarily in the sense that there's no structure to it. I just mean, like, who can, who has time to watch all of that? Like,
yeah.
Difficult, to really, I'm really reliant on, reading people who are covering it and saying, this match is worth going out of your way to see. Cause, to be honest, not all of it is worth going out of your way to see.
I go to voicesofwrestling.com more during the G1 than I do just about any time of the year. Great website for wrestling commentary and all that, but man, during the G1, it becomes essential because you've got guys there who are sitting up and watching every show and will tell you, hey, go watch these two matches from early this morning, and you can actually pull that off and go and watch them, but you don't have to see every single thing. But I'll tell you something, I'm even tempted to stay up and watch. Jake, did you happen to see what I think it's the one of the block finals, what that's going to be?
We're looking at Omega and Okada 3, right?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That is part of the G1, and I'm psyched about that. That is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm curious to see. I assume that on night 2 in Long Beach, they add a bunch of random multi-man tags, given that that show has 5 matches on it, and 3 of them are tournament matches right now, so I'm just assuming we're going to get some tags to fill in that show. And
there's like 28 less people working on night 2. It's kind of insane.
So I'm wondering if Omega goes down in the first round in this tournament, if we get a little Okada Omega tease, because I feel like that would make people in Long Beach very happy, being that I'll be one of the people in Long Beach. And I believe that would make me happy.
Certainly. Yeah. It would make a lot of sense for night 2. I don't know if they put them both in, I guess a Bullet Club versus a smattering of New Japan talent tag match would make a lot of sense for that show.
I mean, Bullet Club versus Chaos would make sense.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it on night 1, but why not go back to the well again? They've got it. You just pull out the Bucks and Roppongi Vice, since they are going to be in a regular tag team match on that show. That should be really fun. I'm kind of curious to see if the Bucks continue the kind of storytelling tag match trend that they've been on, where it's less crazy, or if they let being in the home country of Southern California influence them and pull out more of the stops on this one.
Yeah, I guess it's, they've been on a kick where they've wanted to show off their versatility, so to speak, in terms of match structure and storytelling. And I applaud them for sort of stretching their legs a little bit in that regard. But I am curious to see which angle they take with that tag match on night 2, because they would have a chance to show off if they wanted to.
Does Billy Gunn win the Intercontinental title from Tanahashi?
I would bet my life against it at this point.
Although, if New Japan were into crowd reaction shots, they'd get some straight up the streak just ended shots out of Tanahashi getting pinned by Billy Gunn in the middle of the ring.
You'd
get the like grown dudes with hands on their heads like, why?
Yeah, that would be an interesting scene if you had Tanahashi, you know, laying down in the middle of the ring and Ass Man play over the top with Billy Gunn celebrating with the championship.
I hope he's entering to Ass Man.
I don't know what he'll end up using, but I will forever remember the Ass Man music. It was a product of its era for sure.
That was my jam on WWF The Music Volume 4.
I'm just imagining you like rolling down the street in your car with your windows down, blasting Ass Man wherever you went.
And I think that's a place for us to end this conversation before I confess to doing something crazy like that. For New Japan coverage this weekend, folks, go to prowrestling.net and you'll see everything I'm posting. Brian Fritz and I are hoping to get some interviews and stuff like that. And I'm sure Jason will be posting that stuff as well for us. And yeah, it should be a really cool weekend. So hopefully I still like wrestling by Monday.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out prowrestling.net's membership option.